Welcome to the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast, a podcast that explores how people and pastors are duped and deceived while serving in ministry. I'm Pearson Lau, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Chan.
Hey, everyone.
Together, we host the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast. We're glad that you're here with us. Come on in and have a seat at the table.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. And if you're joining us and tuning in, we're actually sorry to say that the Bamboo Pastors Podcast is no longer running anymore. They've hit some financial difficulties, and therefore, Pearson Lau and myself, Tony Chan, that we've taken over the Bamboo Pastors Podcast, and now we are the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast. And once again, joining me is Pearson Lau.
I'm so glad to be part of this. I've dreamed of usurping them for so long. And I know they wanted this podcast to be a place of encouragement, but I am fully 100% confident that you and I will discourage everyone from ministry after the recording of this episode.
Yes, I mean, ministry is not easy. That there's so many different ways in which we have been duped as well as deceived. We've been bamboozled. And so we want to send this message out to everyone who's ever felt as if they've been bamboozled. So, but let's just start just to catch up. How are you doing, Pearson?
I am doing okay. I am getting over a cold that has not been fun. And this week, we are preparing for our high school retreat. They told me that it was going to be a lot of fun and that the retreat would run itself. And sadly, that has not been the case. So just been hard at work with that and trying to fill in all the cracks before we go. We also adopted we are fostering a pug from Korea. So this guy is taking up tons of my time, even though he's a lot of fun to be around. But I do notice that I'm beginning to be less punctual for everything because he takes forever to go to the bathroom. But that's been my life lately. What's been going on with you, Tony?
I mean, also a lot of stuff. But just hearing about what you're sharing first, I just want to respond, man. I can't believe that. I mean, that happens just so many times where people actually give these empty promises about how everything's going to go well in ministry. Like, who told you that everything was going to be like so simple and so easy, that the retreat wasn't going to be an issue or a problem for you?
Yeah, I mean, just multiple sources. They said, you know, this thing is so awesome. You just have to sit back and relax and just watch all the magic happen. So,
is there a pastor at your church that you work with?
You're the one that told me that.
So you've been bamboozled.
Yeah, I've been bamboozled. That's why I'm here.
Yes, I apologize. I'm sorry. But when you think about it, right? It's not easy. It's very difficult, right? Like, how do you actually onboard a pastor or someone else, right? Where you're engaging with them and you want them to come to your church, right? To serve as a pastor, but do you share everything about all of the issues and all of the problems of your church? So how do you kind of have that balance? And so, I mean, Pearson, you've been in ministry for a long time, so I would imagine that no matter what I had shared with you, that you would understand just a lot of the intricacies and the difficulties of ministry. So I wouldn't say that you were like completely bamboozled, but anyways, to move on, let me just share about my life. In a sense, I guess it's just been really busy, especially with four kids. Just raising four kids has been not easy, but it's been a great joy in my life. And just even recently, you know, my kids, they've been constantly just asking me, you know, a lot of questions.
If you had to pick one of your kids to wrestle one of Jalen's kids, which two would you put together? And then which one do you think would win? And then which pair do you think would be the most entertaining to watch?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I think especially at a younger age, my two daughters are a lot stronger than my two sons. And so I think my two sons, they typically run away and they cry. but my daughters are pretty tough and they're pretty strong. So I would probably have my daughters be the ones that would fight while my sons cheer in the background.
I think those are some good picks. Hope has some really good height advantage on her too.
Yes.
I mean, I think the whole bamboozled thing, like to be fair, I have trouble trusting you with anything already. So when you told me all those things, I already knew, something was up. But if you think about like the way that God called so many prophets into ministry, like think about Jeremiah. He's like, "Hey, Jeremiah, like I chose you before you were born. Like I knew you, a prophet to the nations. I anointed you, like I've ordained you." And then Jeremiah's all super excited. And then just a few chapters later, he's like, "You're gonna prophesy, but no one's going to listen." And then he was like, "Shoot, like why couldn't you tell me this back in chapter one?" So I don't know. I think yeah, there's a lot there in the tradition that you have drawn upon.
No, yes, yeah, definitely, I agree. Just again for the listeners, if you don't know, Pearson and I work together at the same church at the River of Life, a Christian church. And just one other comment, just to share, that is one of Pearson's actually favorite stories is there's one time where my son was doing announcements for Sunday announcement for we have a foundation called the River of Life Foundation. And during the video, it was this promotion for like Christmas, where we give gifts to orphans and to students in Africa and Asia. And then at the very end of the recording, his voice, he's supposed to record it and say, you know, River of Life changing lives. And then he was recording it and he says, oh, shoot. And then we said to Jose, we said, what happened? He's like, oh, I made a mistake. I accidentally said, River of Lies changing lives.
I mean,
We had to.
lies do change lives too.
Yes, that is true. Like, again, right? That whole aspect of being bamboozled, right? It just comes up and up and up over and over again. Yes, yeah.
I mean, the funny thing with ministry is that I think like pastors and church organizations, like oftentimes we need to present ourselves as if like we have everything together. But
Yes.
realistically speaking, there's just we're human too.
Yes, I totally agree. Yes, yeah. We again all fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. And so that's, I think, a good reminder that the church is not perfect, but it's a place of people who are broken, that are in need of Jesus Christ, that we are actually forgiven, that Christ loves us. Yes, yeah.
And we are the chief of sinners.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Well, we should probably introduce our guests today. Both of them just recently got unemployed because they lost their podcast to us. And so, yeah, Tony, do you want to introduce our two guests?
Yes, yeah, we have two guests with us today. We have both John Mann and Jalen Chan. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us on your new podcast, guys. I'm actually delighted to be on here. So far, it's been great listening to the two of you catch up.
Yeah, this format seems oddly familiar, and I wish that I had more time to kind of experience what you guys have experienced. It sounds like you guys have been doing this for a while and do really well at this podcast. So I'm glad that you guys can carry on the torch and continue on the work that John and I were hoping to do. So thank you for doing that.
I really
Oh,
feel
yeah.
like we're getting a glimpse into a day in the office at ROLCC. Pearson, I'm not sure if we are going to be able to finish this entire recording without bursting into laughter. But for you listeners who are out there, Jalen and I have been sitting here listening to these two both plan and execute the beginning of this podcast, and I was dying. Like, thank goodness there's a mute function on Zoom where we record, because you'd have heard every giggle and laughter. But yeah, we're glad to be on. So happy to talk through whatever topics you guys want to talk through, guys.
All right. I think one of the discussions, I think this is like one of the biggest questions that kind of comes up for the Chinese Heritage Church, especially on Sundays. that big question I think that everybody tries to tackle is to really talk about church lunches. And so, do you have any thoughts or opinions about Chinese churches and the Sunday lunches that they provide?
I think on a on a serious note, it definitely is an extension of worship, right? It's an extension of community and family. I think that's something that we can appreciate about the CHC, something that I think CHCs and a lot of immigrant congregations do well is to fellowship around food. But I think I also recognize that it is a source of contention and conflict, at least maybe in some of the churches that I've been in. And I'm interested. So one of the things I'd be interested in is like, what are the foods that you guys typically have for your church lunches?
And maybe more importantly, whose church or which Chinese church has the best church lunch? That's what I really want to know too.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think usually the issue and the problem always surrounds finances, right? How much are you willing to pay? And typically, my experience in the Chinese churches is that there's a desire to get the most for the least amount of cost. And so that becomes really, really difficult in determining what kind of food week to week that church serves. But in my previous church, my kids really loved it every single time on Sunday where they had this deep fried fish that they would serve. That's the one time where actually like all of the kids, they would just go crazy. They would get excited. And that's like one of the biggest reasons that they want to go to church actually is that in the morning when they wake up to church, whether or not they want to go, the first question they ask is, what are they serving for lunch? And then if we know that they're serving that deep fried pepper fish at church, they're like, oh yeah. And they're so excited to go. Yes. Yeah. It's not for Jesus, but it's for the fish.
Do you guys serve church lunch at RLCC?
No, our church is too big to serve church lunch. Although, like, if you do have meetings and whatnot, you'll oftentimes cater. I mean, I come from a CHC background too. So, one of the first things I implemented when I became the youth pastor here was we bought this like gigantic pot to make a kimchi jjigae. And then we also bought a wok. So, we have this huge wok in our youth center now. So, there has been a few occasions where, we've like sliced up ton of pork belly and then just threw it in the wok and then had that over rice or just simple meals like that. But I often wonder, like how many people have we won to Christ through the quality of our church lunch? And then conversely, how many people have we, shut the door on the kingdoms of Christ because of the lack of quality of our church lunch? That is a question that haunts me.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a
that's
good
true.
question. I feel like, if you get up on a if you get up and do the announcements and you say, hey, if there's any visitors here, come join us for church lunch afterwards, and you make it a big deal and you say it's a free lunch and they go down and it's not great food, that's a problem, right? Like that's speaking of bamboozled, like that you've been bamboozled, right? You say you got free lunch and you go down and it's something that is not super appetizing. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I know it, especially if you're preaching on a Sunday about that I am the bread of life, and then on Sunday you serve some soggy youtiao and it's just nasty. I mean, yeah, that just ruins the whole sermon that was given, right?
Okay, but hold on. What's worse though? Is it worse for the food to be like not that great or like something that people don't enjoy as much? Like, I think of bitter melon. That's not necessarily universally enjoyed. So is it worse if the food is not something that you want, or is it worse for them to run out of food? Because I think it's worse when they run out of food.
I mean, I think that really depends on your view of the sovereignty of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. And if your church ends up serving something like bitter melon and these non-believers, they eat it and some are just like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I hate this place. I'm never coming back to this church. Like, they were just never elected to begin with. The ones that have stayed, they are truly the ones.
I think it's important for us to add right now that the theological views expressed in this episode are not reflective of the Bamboo Pastors podcast, nor any of the churches that we represent. It only reflects the theological views of the Bamboozled Pastors podcast. Just got to add that in so I can clip it and reuse that audio multiple times when I'm editing this episode.
Yeah, let me ask you guys, let's stay on this church lunch topic. What is the best? So Tony, you said for your kids that the fish, right? The deep fried fish, salt and pepper, deep fried fish. Love that stuff too. How about for you guys growing up? Like your memories of church lunch. What is your favorite church lunch meal?
Oh, yes. I mean, because I grew up in the Korean church because I'm Korean. And so when I was growing up, I mean, if the church ever had kalbi, oh my gosh, man, that's just like the crowds, they all would come, right, to get their fill. And I mean, again, right, what we're talking about, like to reach the lost, if churches, like every church were to serve kalbi on a Sunday, like there's just thousands would just come. Yeah. So that was like, that would be the greatest and the best. Yeah.
What's the Chinese church equivalent to that? I feel like it might be like on occasion for special events, we might have like roast pork or something like that. Is that, that's probably about the same, right? Same level of draw. No, not necessarily. I mean, I don't mean the same as in like taste or whatever, but just like it's, you wouldn't have kalbi every week, right? It would be rare.
No,
occasions.
There's no way. Yeah. No,
like a
yeah.
special treat. Like you're saying what's a Chinese equivalent of like this, like a specialty, like or a special meal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We roll out a ton of steamers with like xiaolong balls and like cao cao balls.
You don't think it's that when way. We have when like the church has like a whole roast pig? That's kind of like the equivalent, because I feel like it's a once a year thing, or like someone's retiring and they do that. You know,
how about Peking duck?
You've been to a church that's had Peking duck?
I've not. That's the thing, right? Like, should we not offer Peking duck?
Well, I know. What I mean is, what have we had that would be the equivalent of kalbi? Yeah. I don't know. I think for me, so when I was a high schooler or like even younger, I, growing up at our church in Chinatown, Jalen, we had pretty good church lunches. I remember they were really cheap. It was like maybe $2 or something, and you get a whole plate of food. But I always like, I never wanted church lunch. I remember distinctly that I always wanted to like go out to eat. There was a KFC very briefly in Chinatown. There was a KFC. And I remember that was like my, in junior high, I always wanted to go walk all the way over to Chinatown Square and get the KFC because I didn't want more Chinese food for lunch. But when I ended up in Wheaton, you know, I'm living in the suburbs now. I actually looked forward to church lunch every month. And we only did it once a month, usually the first Sunday of the month. And I looked forward to it because I felt like, well, the Chinese food out in the suburbs is, there's some decent places, but it's not super, you know, it's not like just walking into a random place in Chinatown and getting a fan hut or something like that. And so I would look forward to it because you might actually get something like, you know, like what Tony was describing, the salt and pepper fish or pork chop or, you know, some like mapo tofu dish or something. And so I feel like I really actually did look forward to church lunch, especially when I was in Wheaton. What about you guys?
I feel like if actually the Chinese church were to serve this dish, that you would attract many, many Koreans. I mean, I think that I remember in Chicago, in Chinatown, we would drive right over an hour just to go there. A lot of Koreans would specifically go to this restaurant called Seven Treasures, but we would call it Ghetto Treasures just because, like, I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't clean. It was like a hole in the wall. But yet it was so cheap. And the dish that everybody would get, that we memorized the number of the dishes, 554, which is just white rice. And it has like the barbecue pork with the sunny side up egg and just soy sauce, and just Koreans would just, we just love that so much. And I feel like if the Chinese church were to serve that on a Sunday, you'd attract many, 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 many Koreans. Yes.
Yeah. 554, I think is that's like nationally known, if not globally known.
It's definitely in urbandictionary.com.
Oh, it's a big deal, yeah.
Oh,
But a
wow.
moment of silence for Seven Treasures, because Seven Treasures is no more.
Yes, that's so sad, I know.
Yeah, I think, for me, also growing up in Chinatown, the church in Chinatown, we were spoiled, John, definitely having all those options. But I think before we were able to go out and kind of wander on our own or with our friends, and it's a very simple one. My favorite meal or dish was the Yongzhao Tao Fan, which is like a yang, it's Yang Chow fried rice,
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like mixed vegetables. It's got barbecue pork and shrimp. It's just kind of like a mix of different things thrown into a fried rice. And for whatever reason, the place that we catered it from, I think it was from Gourmet Restaurant.
It was.
They just made it really well. And so I just have memories of that being the best fried rice, the best, church lunch meal. And so I actually just like sometimes I'll just crave Yongzhao Tao Fan, even though it's like a very simple and basic fried rice, right? But that's
And
one of my
I
favorites.
think they had that every week. Like they'd have that plus something else, right? It wasn't, I feel like they generally had it pretty
They had it
often.
most weeks, yeah.
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 What do you guys think about that, right? Like I'm even recognizing and acknowledging that our conversation is really centered on food, that if the church just keeps on giving these this great food that draws people, that they'll forget about like the real reason of why you go to church and that the focus would be actually on the food, right?
So you're saying it's important to mix up the menu so that you're not always giving good food, so
Yes,
that it keeps people honest, right, in terms
yes.
of why they come to church.
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
So that stays with the theme of bamboozled. We want to bamboozle people in some sense
Yeah.
so
Yes.
that they remain faithful to the Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
So,
you.
like, when they come and then they see that there's no food, and then they'll be like cursing and being like, God, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We,
And then as pastors would say, then why are you really here?
yes. Yeah. We can
Right? There you
really,
go.
yeah. Here. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was like, I think that was something similar like that, right? I think one time, I think we had told the leaders, all of them, to come for a leaders meeting, and then we told them that we order food from Chick-fil-A, and everybody's so excited. And then all the leaders, they were coming, and then we just stopped for a second, and I said, "Wait a minute!" I'm like, "Is Chick-fil-A open on a Sunday?" And I was like, "Oh no!" So we didn't have any food. And so that was a good test, right, for the leaders. Like, why are you here, right? Are you here because you want some Chick-fil-A or because you want Jesus? Yes.
I think a lot of it goes along with like expectations too, right? Like, I mean, even the Israelites having the same thing over and over again in the wilderness, like even though it was like really, really good at first, they eventually got tired of it and they eventually started complaining. And you see this echoed in Jesus's own ministry too, where he's telling these crowds that are following him, like, you're following me not because of the words or the signs that I've given you, but because you had your fill of the bread. And I think Jesus's own character and life gives permission for pastors like us to trick our congregants every once in a while,
I agree.
just to show their heart condition.
Yes. Jesus is the biggest bamboozler. I do agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, even like the whole rising again from the dead thing, like his disciples are all like, oh, he's like, bam,
Yeah.
bamboozled.
Yes.
Oh man. Okay.
I'm
Well,
glad,
yes.
John, that you're clipping out that your disclaimer about
Yes.
theological
Once
statements.
again, the theological views from today's episode are not a reflection of the Bamboo Pastors podcast, any of our churches, nor most of our the individuals that are in this recording. So, mostly, I think.
Because I mean, didn't Jesus cheat also? He cheated death, right?
Tony, I feel like I'm just gonna have to. We're gonna edit this whole thing, and it's just gonna be like a 10-minute stream of you, of your theological, questionable statements, and we'll just make a whole nother episode out of that too. But, I was gonna say one thing, and just thinking about it, like actually being real about church lunch. I know at my church now we've made it and like a connection between our church lunch, which is once a month, with communion. And, you know, we do it on the same Sunday that we partake at the Lord's table. And the idea is that we extend our table fellowship. So I actually do think that it's important that the food is, you know, something that people want to stay and eat, and that we not run out, not just because there's a cultural ethic to like make sure there's enough food on the table because we're a Chinese church, but because I think it's important for us to really have fellowship around the table the way that Jesus invites us to his table to eat. And yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think we've always joked, Jalen, about like we should do like food reviews on the podcast. And obviously that was very tongue in cheek, you know, as a joke in the early stages of planning the Bamboo Pastors podcast. And so I'm glad that these guys have picked up the torch where we never got around to reviewing church lunches. But I think there is some there's value in not reviewing the lunch, but churches kind of, yeah, doing well in that area, or as well as they can within reason.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge correlation. I mean, you see throughout just the Gospels and the New Testament, like that a lot of Jesus's ministry always surrounded dealing with food. Yeah, I think over a third of his ministry deals with food. And even at church, like on Sundays, like when we actually for communion, right, you had those plain like kind of wafers, like nobody really responds when you give a call, altar call, like if you want to accept Jesus Christ. But when you start serving Hawaiian bread, oh my gosh, like baptisms like significantly increase. Like, yeah. So if churches were to even just give like Hawaiian bread for communion, like bam, like yes, you'll see like an increase of those who are saved.
There was a period of time at my old church where instead of having like the communion wafers, we ended up getting naan bread. And then even prior to service, we would warm those things up and then, you know, put them in the tray. And so I remember when I was officiating communion, one of the ladies came up and she grabbed it. She was like surprised because it was still kind of warm. Then she put it in her mouth and it was like her eyes were open. Then after service, she came up to me and she was like, I know this sounds really, really weird, but where did you get that bread? And I was like, oh, you know, it's this naan bread that I picked up from Costco. She's like, that's the best communion I've ever had. I was just like, I don't really know what to make of this, but I'm glad it was a meaningful and spiritual experience for you.
But yeah, when someone tastes something that good, that I think you can use that to point to saying that there's something even greater than that, you know, what you've experienced and what you've tasted, right? That God is that much better than what you tried here. And so, yeah. But what do you guys think about, communion, right? The actual wine instead of using grape juice. What do you guys think about that? Do you think churches should actually serve alcohol for communion?
I've actually been to churches where they served, they may not have exclusively served wine, but they had an option for it. So they had a alcoholic and non-alcoholic options.
Wow. In a Chinese church?
No, it was, I think, a Presbyterian church that was more Pan-Asian. I won't say any names, but
so it's Presbyterians.
Yeah, I've been to a Chinese heritage church that did that, and they do give the option. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it was on purpose, or did they had like some communion that was sitting around for a little too long and it started fermenting, and they're like, we don't want to waste this, so we need to provide some options here, people.
That would totally happen at a Chinese heritage church, right? Like you buy the grape juice in bulk and it just like you don't get it used, and so it just naturally just becomes wine, and so we can't throw it out, we can't dump it out as Chinese people, so we got to save it. No, that definitely could happen. Yeah, you're right. Maybe
now I'm wondering if a church serves sourdough and red wine, now I'm wondering, did they just buy their ingredients a long time ago and everything just fermented?
But then when you were at those churches that serves alcohol for communion, did you see people going back in line like a second and a third time?
No, yeah. I think it's just a regular, like people are aware of what they're supposed to do and why they're doing what they're doing.
And then if people were kind of like a little like kind of off, would you then associate like saying that they're drunk on the spirit and not on the wine?
I don't remember thinking all of these things when I was taking communion. But next time I go to a church that serves wine and communion, I'll be more observant.
Maybe after the show, you can give us that list of those churches I'd like to visit.
He'll be in line multiple times. Excuse me, sir. I think this is the fifth time we need to cut you off.
Once
I'll
again,
bring my own cup. I'll bring my own cup.
the theological views expressed in this podcast are not a reflection of the views of the Bamboo Pastors podcast.
Wait. That was like the medieval and like the. I mean, I don't know. There's still some churches that, if you ascribe to either consubstantiation or transubstantiation, like you never throw out the elements. And so if you're a priest serving at these kinds of churches with those kind of doctrinal beliefs, then you're obligated to finish off whatever the communion or whatever communion is left behind. So Tony, I sadly think you picked the wrong denomination to be a part of here.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Maybe I'll change.
Well, guys, thank you so much for having us on your podcast. It's been totally a treat, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I look forward to hearing more from the Bamboozled Pastors podcast. I think that there's so much that you guys can offer and so many ways that you can bless the church. So just keep doing what you guys are doing.
No, thank you so much for that encouragement. And before we go, I noticed that there's a guitar sitting behind you. Is there a reason why you have a guitar with you?
So we had talked about for our church's Chinese New Year celebration, we had the Mandarin pastor and I had agreed to sing a song in Cantonese for our congregation as sort of the end to our evening. And so John put forth a challenge in one of our previous episodes in the Bamboo Pastors podcast, that if we received 100 likes, I would sing that song in a future episode. And so I believe that we did receive 100 likes on our
Ooh.
Instagram.
We did. And I need to just interrupt real quick and give a shout out to our new social media intern, Timmy. Timmy worked really hard to boost our visibility on Instagram and get us to 100 likes. So we couldn't have done it without you, Timmy. We're really glad that you're on the team now. Looking forward to all the other great content you produce. Hopefully you will get lots of laughs listening to this episode as you look for footage for reels and stuff.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Timmy.
Does your singing voice sound a lot like your talking voice?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys can maybe tell me.
Is it like a deeper and a little bit more sultry?
No.
What are
Think
you
I have
implying, Pearson?
a higher singing voice than my speaking voice, I think. I don't know. Nobody's ever told me anything about that. So I'm interested. This is gonna be kind of weird for you guys just to watch me sit here and sing now. But
No, it's not weird at all.
No, yes, yeah.
it's a little bit
Please
weird, but
serenade us. Yes.
all right. So this song is called it's a Chinese, it's a Cantonese song. And it's called Love Is Not Reserved, or it's an unreserved love, and it's kind of contrasting the love of the world compared to the love of Christ. And so I will attempt to play it on guitar and sing it in Cantonese. When I actually did it for our congregation, we had a piano accompaniment. And so this is the first time I'm actually doing it like in front of people with a guitar. So maybe with the power of editing, John, we can make the sound better than it would be in the first take. But
I'm sure
all
it'll
right, here we
be
go.
just fine.
Yêu, một khắc 灿烂便要走。 sun ngồi si hằng gao phong đô liu nay y mô bi cao mô chung gai xế mất hoa suýt mình đế ngồi xin sao gó hào yên chẳng chuyên bất lâu sưu yên sao thông phú bê yên qua trôi mộc thâu chỉ câu đích ngồi chân kiên như chỉ chuyên đích sâu hòn hư trôi lâu phản nhìn ngồi mụt bó lâu chỉ chút bất xế đích ngồi đô mạng xây bất yêu vì cầu phong sương sông mình chuyên quay chú so yêu yêu chân nhất xây chân kiên như ngồi chú đích sâu ngồi y cứ定今生再没所求，唯望得主称赞已足够。我已决定今生再没所求，唯望得主称赞已足够。
Woo! That was amazing. That
I find myself very interested and slightly attracted to you.
Yes.
I was gonna say that was both beautiful, Jalen, and impressive that you learned that whole song in Cantonese. So very good work.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we always actually like to end our episodes with a question. And so we're gonna ask this a question is what is one thing you would say to discourage folks from ministry?
I'll go first since I was able to get a sneak preview of this question while Jalen was performing and thought about it a little. So I think obviously I would not want to discourage anyone from pursuing a calling that God has given them. But I will say these two things. One, when I was in high school, one of my youth pastors, I remembered him telling me, if there's anything else you can do with your life, you should do that instead, besides going into ministry. And I think because the road serving in ministry can be a very painful one where God really stretches you and, you know, I think develops your capacity for leadership. And a lot of the times that's forged in painful experiences. And so I think I carried that for a long time. Not that it discouraged me from going into ministry, but that I just kind of knew to expect there will be hard moments in ministry, right? You're going to have conflict with church members, with other leaders, disappointments you're going to have to deal with. And those can be pretty tough things. But what I will say on the other side of that is, one of the things I think that God really gives us is community. And I think this particular episode should be an illustration of that. I don't know if it was fully captured because I know that we were cracking up with our mics muted almost this entire time. Like basically if we weren't talking, we were laughing or I was laughing really hard. And so I do feel like for all the hard moments that we've had in ministry and I can share about those, and I want to be real about that with anyone that's thinking about ministry. I also want to be very real about the joy that comes in serving alongside people that you build friendship with and relationship with. And so I feel like having nights where we can just kind of shoot the breeze and goof around and record a ridiculous podcast, competing podcast to the Bamboo Pastors podcast, does bring me a lot of joy. It reminds me that I'm not in this journey alone. And so I think that would be the kind of the other side of it. So more an encouragement, not a discouragement from ministry, but an encouragement that in order to survive those really, really rough moments, you really have to have solid relationship with people who are running in the same direction as you. So
I would say that if I were to discourage somebody from ministry, it would be to think about, you know, pouring your life out for something, working as hard as you can and seeing very little fruit from it, or seeing maybe less fruit than you would anticipate from the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that you pour into it. Because it just it doesn't it's not proportionate. I feel like it's just not doesn't match. You know, what you put in is not what you see. But I think that therein also lies the future joy and future hope that the Lord promises us. If He has called us to this work, we are not living for the temporary success of the world. We're not even necessarily living for, you know, just the temporary fruit that we can see with our eyes. I think what is super encouraging in those moments when you feel like you're working and you're pouring out your heart and you're striving extremely hard and you're facing those conflicts is that one day as we continue and maintain faithfulness, the Lord does say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And so if you're not ready to do that, I would say don't do ministry. But if the Lord has called you to it, that is, man, an eternal joy that we look forward to.
Thank you too for coming onto our podcast today. I hope all of you who listened don't get mad at us and you're able to take away at least a little bit from this episode, that despite the bamboozle, it's worth it in the end.
And I just want to end by saying that if we get 100 likes on this episode, that in our next episode of Bamboozled Pastors Podcast, Pearson will have a special performance, and the song is called Ching Ching King. So please smash that like button, and we'll see you on our next episode. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
That's the end of our episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the pod on whatever platform you listen to us on. Rate and review us, and check in every week as we explore the joys and challenges of ministry in the Chinese church. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bamboo Pastors. See you next time.